from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Fans, they don't like them.
Afternoons on the Score.
Okay, calling an audible here for a minute. It's the Parkinson Spiegel Show on the Score, sending you into your holiday weekend.
Yeah, man, it feels like a feel-good Friday. The Open was feel-good. And then, you know, focusing on the Cubs with the manager, also feel good.
Yeah, and listen, we can get to, there's great football audio that we have. We've got categories. We've got other things to do. I can handle it. Like, I also don't want it overstated. Like, it's not like I'm going out to dinner and breakfast and beers with the man. Have not seen him socially since the season started. But people know that, you know, Craig grew up with my brother. You know, that was talked about way back in the day. I've known the guy for a long, long time. But like, so if you can remove that from the equation, he's an intense guy. He's a smart guy. He's a careful guy. He's considerate with his words, but I find him to be almost alarmingly direct. Like if you ask him a question, he will give you an answer. Like for example, because it's just peel back the curtain completely here. I know that there have been members of the writing corps around the Cubs who get annoyed when he like will tell us like, oh yeah, this is the roster move that's happening before he ends up going into the press room and talking to them, because he's just not going to like hold that back for 10 minutes and then break it to them. And like he's like, who cares? It's a transactional news. You ask me a question, I'm going to give you an answer. So he pauses after every question. Sometimes if the answer can be 8 words, he gives you 8 words. If the answer needs to be 208 words, he gives you 208 words, but never 209. So it's he's an interesting, intense guy to talk to in that way. But so like, you know, I'm broadcasting from home, not at the studio today, which is very rare. So I don't have the text line up at home. It's on a different tab, right? At the studio, I've got 3 windows in front of me. So when the interview with Council ended and I threw the break, I looked at the text line and the response was overwhelmingly negative to the interview. But I had gone to the break being like, there was some stuff in there if you were listening. And so I normally don't feel like I'm that disconnected to how the audience feels about something that we just did on the show. Normally, if you guys are like, that sucks, I'm also like, this sucks.
Well, let's throw open the phone lines and talk about it a little bit. I think it's interesting. At 312-644-6767. Because here's what I think, Danny. I think people are furious. I think Cub fans were told this was going to be a winning year, and it sucks. And right now, a great team with a big payroll is in town showing you what it's supposed to look like, what it could look like. And it all freaking sucks. And the Brewers are in first place, and they told you that the manager mattered. So, I mean, I'm seeing it on social. I'm certainly seeing it on text. People are so angry at Craig, they want to hear some of that anger from us and directness from us. So that's one big part of it. That they
want anger from us to Craig?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so like, here's the thing. Then you're going to be disappointed. And that's fine. Like if the audience is like, why don't you guys say you should be fired or you suck or whatever? Like that's just not going to happen. You're going to be disappointed. I'm sorry to disappoint you. It'll happen again. But that's not the role or the job, right? The job, in my opinion, is to ask him questions, get his answer, and then if we disagree, we can push back. But like when he says some of the at-bats from PCA are tough to watch, or he says flatly, it has been regression from Miguel Amaya, or we don't have a single all-star caliber offensive season on the team, and that caps how good you can be. Those are bad answers. Am I missing? Please tell me if I'm wrong. Those are not bad answers. That is a very honest, direct evaluation of a team like that. He's not shoveling gold, and you know what I mean, or whatever that stupid expression is. What's the expression?
I have no idea.
Go ahead, Danny.
Shoveling crap and calling it gold, whatever that expression is. You know what I mean? He's not polishing up a turd. He's not putting lipstick on a pig.
Okay, those two, I know. Yes. Job, I know those two.
There's one about shoveling.
Shoveling?
Peter?
We got a phone call. We got one on the line here. So
he's screening calls. Yeah.
Text it in, call in. Genuinely curious. Like, I can – it's fine if you disagree, but, like, I find it to be – like – I've known his conversation pattern for forever.
A lot of people have not. This is the other thing. He's
an intense dude.
There's a little bit of a stilted delivery. There's a lot of pauses because he's comfortable waiting for, you know, exactly what he wants to say. So there's some of that discomfort. You know how it is with certain,
and I live for discomfort.
With some people in terms of listening and texting, it's like anything that sounds like discomfort. That it sounds like he thinks we're complete idiots, right? There's one text that's like, I don't know how he's patient with you two Jamokes. So there's some of that.
But we've heard him talk to the assembled media, and there's some of that with them. 100%.
There's a lot of it with
that. I've stood there and felt it with that. There is some of that. That's just what it is.
We played the Jesse interaction. Jesse is as good as they get. You know, played that interaction a couple weeks ago.
Hey, man, not everybody's Joe Madden. You know, like Joe Madden.
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
Not everybody is that guy. That guy is as good and as polished at speaking as often as a manager must as anyone I have ever seen or been around or heard. I mean, you are straight up spoiled by 4 to 5 years of Joe Madden.
But and even David Ross, like David Ross was not cuddly, like the Grandpa Rossi thing, but Craig won't do media. He's not doing media when his managerial career is over. That's not going to be what he does.
He's not going to ride his bike and speak into a microphone and turn that into a podcast or a book, because that's what Joe did like immediately.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's what Skills. David Ross did. Mm-hmm. David Ross was on Sunday Night Baseball. You know, David Ross, like that's Craig is more likely to be the commissioner of baseball than to be on Sunday Night Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just, that is not who he is. So if that's what it is that the last two managers were, and especially Joe, but also Ross, were
polished media presences for the
correct.
Most part. Yeah,
and what it is, then fine.
And it could still be rough because the other thing. There's lots of answers that he doesn't have, man. It's the hardest sport in the universe. He cannot tell you why Dansby Swanson is having as brutal an offensive year as he is, because it's part of it psychological, is part of it that he's hitting too many ground balls to the pull side. Yeah, like all those things. But what's going on here? Is he going to get into those intricacies? Hell, man, I asked about a group offensive approach because I am overwhelmed by what seems like a group and or organizational offensive approach that seems to be broken. But and I go back to Theo saying our offense is broken, and you want to think about that from a holistic perspective. But it's such a collection of individual stories and plot lines and challenges. It's so difficult to get a freaking handle on for fans, let alone for a manager. So he doesn't have answers to some of that stuff. And some of it, of course, I'm sure, is our terrible questions, as listeners can tell us at 312-644-67.
Yeah, I mean, there's one texter who's sent 30 texts since the interview ended, just absolutely crushing us for the questions.
Sure.
That's fine.
We're very critical of our own questions. We talk through stuff and try to deal with it, but whatever. Things can be... there are multiple.
I mean, again, I disagree. I thought that was good.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. It's just sort of a stilted delivery, a little bit, and that's just him and his style. And he can't do anything about
it. Yeah,
they suck, man. They're what? Bad. They suck. They're really bad. It colors everything.
Right. And so someone would say, just say that to him. You guys are bad. And it's like, well, okay. I don't know how what it does to antagonize the guy who's going to be on the show every other week and is the manager of the team when it's not going to get you the best answers. It's like, I ask them, when you guys are double-digit out in the standings, does that impact, you know, whether or not you guys are going to be sellers at the deadline? That's not like a... That's not a friendly question. That's not a soft question. It's just, I'm not going to say, hey, you guys suck. Why? but I just think that there's a difference there, right? One question I'll ask, the other question I won't.
Right.
And Texter says, you know, well, what about how you grilled John Paxson back in the day? Man, listen, I thought those questions were fair, too. He came on and called it an interrogation. So, you know,
also, John Paxson was making the roster decisions.
Yeah, right. Different types of questions that you ask that person than others.
The one thing I had down that I didn't get to was, how are you and Jed doing? How are you guys doing right now?
Yeah.
Because I'm interested in how they're doing.
Right, I'm now. Not going to say that like I'd submit that interview for an award, but I can't imagine listening to that and not thinking that it was interesting.
We got a couple phone calls on
this.
Let's
take them.
This is Tony in St. John, Indiana. Tony, you're on Parkers and Spiegel on the Score. What's up, man?
Yeah, how's it going, gentlemen? Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on Craig Counsell. I'm a diehard Cub fan. You know, my dad's ruined me with this for quite some time now, but that's all right. Anyway, you know, I don't get upset at him whatsoever. I don't put any of the blame on him whatsoever. Even in just early in the season when he was making some questionable decisions out of the bullpen, he was still trying to figure out what arms he had, if there were any that he had. The guy is just diligent, goes about his business, quiet, soft-spoken, tells it like it is, blunt. He's not one of those guys that's going to come out of the dugout kicking dirt on the umpire and stuff like that. He's not a Lou Piniella. He's just not that guy. So I don't blame him whatsoever. I'm glad they have him for another 4 years. It's solely on Jed Hoyer. He didn't do enough last year going into the offseason. I'm sorry, this year in the offseason to address the corner infield. You know, he thought Morel would progress. He didn't. Was a big, you know, now his trade value is gone. Michael Bush, he might have hit on. We're not too sure just yet, but I think he may have, although he had to give up Jackson Ferris, who's a stud.
So Tony's following it very closely, and he thinks it's more on the team building. And that's part of the conversation, but in terms of like how it sounded, Danny, I think maybe Sean in Romeoville can speak to that in terms of how it sounds on the regular. What's up, Sean? How are you?
Hi, guys. How are you guys?
We're good.
Good.
Good. Good. I'm not a big baseball guy, but I enjoy listening to you guys. So I will say that whenever I hear these interviews, to me, it just sounds really uncomfortable. And maybe that's me internalizing. But I also think, you know, it's got to be really difficult to do these interviews when the team's not playing well. And, you know, they come on the air. And they know you guys are going to, I don't want to say grill them, but you're going to challenge them with what you guys think is right or should be done or what the team should be doing. And I just think, you know, when teams are winning and when they're playing well, you know, these are just easier to do. And also, too, this is just to kind of be a little funny. Do you remember how the warden responded to Tim Robbins in Shawshank Redemption when he called him obtuse?
Obtuse?
Do you remember that part in the movie?
Yeah, of course.
Sometimes, Danny, I think you're that way willfully. Like, that's just my opinion. Sometimes I think you kind of choose to be tone deaf, like for you to not feel, and I'm just keeping it at the interview, to not feel the discomfort and the tension and that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, to say that, you know, if you listen back to it, there's great stuff in it. But still, it's uncomfortable, and I think that comes across clearly to people who are listening. But I think sometimes you kind of choose to take that role.
Well, Sean, okay, that's interesting, but please stay on the line.
I will.
Is it possible that I've talked to the man for years and years and years and know how he speaks?
That's possible, but I think sometimes, this is just my opinion, guys in sport media kind of like to play the contrarian role. I'll even just kind of go back to, like, you almost seemed kind of shocked that people were upset about the way people booed Cross's wife at the Bulls thing. Like you, it was almost to you as if like, well, what did you guys expect? And it's like, well, it's not about what we expect. It's about you know, morality and having respect and having some dignity. So that's just my opinion. Sometimes I think people in sport media play the contrarian role on purpose.
Yeah, I mean they definitely do. I try not to and appreciate the call. I mean, the Krause thing was a separate thing. The guy got booed every time he was shown on the video board. I thought it was silly to assume that he would not be booed that time, because 20,000 people on a Friday night for a 9 o'clock tip, probably not going to be the most rational of thought providers in the room. Not saying it was right, just saying I would have expected it. But different issue. Again, I'm not saying that was an interview or a conversation that had the flow and the comfort of, you know, Joe Maddon, like you said. I just don't.
Yeah, no, but it's interesting. I'm totally willing to point the thumb as well. There's a text is interesting. You guys were passively, aggressively asking him your questions while trying to be critical of the team. He was obviously annoyed that you weren't being direct. And I'm gonna try to take that in for a second, because can you, as an interviewer, try to play it where you're like, oh no, I'm not gonna say you're sucking, but boy, this is sure has seemed to suck. I'm not trying to be passive aggressive, but I am trying to talk about it critically without being an a-hole, because I don't think you need to be an a-hole to do it. Were we not direct enough? You think? Is there any truth in that?
I mean, listen, I'm happy to listen back to it. And he would definitely, he is definitely the type of person that would not like that. He appreciates a
He'd
a
rather
direct,
just have it direct.
Well, like, I mean, and I'm not bringing it up because it was one of your questions, but he called you on it. Like, you said, what have you learned about guys on the team? And he was like, well, who are you talking about specifically?
Right.
And then you mentioned him. And then I thought that, you know, some of the answers there were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually think, you know, so again, maybe. But again, like there's two ways to do it, right? You could be like, hey, you guys suck offensively. Why? Or you guys are 28th in baseball in runners in scoring position.
Uh-huh.
Why? Like, to me, it's the same question. One is just done more professionally than the other.
Yeah. But like, if my question about the overall collection of approaches, you know, it's interesting. I'll say this. He is a different kind of manager than I've ever really had to interview on the regular. Also, just from my perspective, what is now 31, 32 years of baseball in this town, covering for 20 plus, whatever. It's like, he's a very smart and interesting, thoughtful dude. So it's worth some introspection on how to try and talk to the dude, especially while they're struggling.
It's funny because part of me is like, I want to do more of the fun personality, sports dad, swimming pool, because he's a smart ass.
I bet he does too. Don't you think?
Maybe that's what it should be.
Uh-huh.
Maybe, you know, but again, he's not. Boog was on and Sutcliffe was on and told the story of Andre Dawson, Council, Boog, and Sut at dinner, and he's like, who was talking the whole time?
Mm-hmm.
Sut and Boog. There are introverts and extroverts. Craig's more of an introvert. He's just more of an introverted guy.
By the way, Sean's point of you not noticing the discomfort, I don't think that's a role you're choosing to do, in my opinion. It's just like, you're all right with the discomfort. You're okay. It's like a warm blanket to you.
I want the interview to be very good, very badly. I think about it a ton when we have him on. It means a lot to me. I hear from Brad's friends sometimes after mm-hmm. the interview. There is no segment in our week that matters more to me being good than that one. But I just, a challenge of a question, making fun of me. Hey, if I'm looking at the scoreboard, I'm also looking at the flags, Danny. Do you lack peripheral vision?
Yeah.
Like, he's just being a smartass. He's being himself.
One more text on this. You guys in Council have to be professional on the air. The fans don't. And there's a feeling that Council is getting a pass. The serious tension is a problem when things don't go well. You know, so yeah, fans do not have to be professional. Yeah.
I just want the listeners to know, I did have on the dock, you know, he ran the 3-run homer play in the ninth.
Yeah.
You guys should have asked why he didn't run that play again immediately
earlier.
After.
Yeah.
Or earlier.
Right.
At any point. And that's on you guys. You guys are going to have to sit with that all weekend.
Yep. No, Tanny wants us to ask the hard questions about the 3-run homer play. That's a good point. Huh. But okay, like, no, that's fascinating.
The uncomfortableness is the team on the field. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are secure in your roles. Craig is very secure, but the product on the field is just not good right now. That's the uncomfortable part. And he only has so much control over that.
The product is not good, and it's forcing yourself to ask massive questions about the organization.
Because we get them every 2 weeks. Yeah, well, so we have to zoom out a bit, too.
You bet. Well, and also the moment, Tanny. When you're this bad in what was supposed to be a winning year, then fans zoom out, and they're like, wait a minute, what are we doing here? And this guy who's been here half a season is not responsible for a lot of what we're doing here just yet. He's not. He doesn't even have a staff. And it's like, and to some that can say, like, oh, you're giving him a pass. No, he could probably be doing more to get them out of it. You know, I'm interested in if he feels like he could be doing more to get them out of it. But there's a lot that is above or at least sideways to his pay grade at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. Fascinating. And I'm always, like I said, I want it to be an open, honest conversation, like, you know, with the audience. So when I looked at the text line and I was like, huh. That's different than what I was hearing.
All right, you teased people with football vibes and interesting ones. Can you please deliver on that, for
God's
sakes?
All right, we'll do it. Yeah. It'll get you hyped for football in a very specific part of this Bears season. Next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Pat McGann.
I feel like I'm in a garage on the south side, but you guys have an antenna. That's like the biggest difference.
Yeah.
Afternoons on The Score.
Some of these guys I haven't seen body type-wise. I mean, Hartman... My grandma loves him. Like, you know, she still lives in South Bend and watches Notre Dame games. And she's like, what do you think about Hartman, Joe?
He is so cute.
She goes, I may be 93, but I'm not blind. I'm like, oh, geez, grandma.
Hard Knocks.
Dude, Hard Knocks is coming for the Bears, but there's an off-season one on the New York Giants. And I was like, Hard Knocks is stale. It's team-approved. I'll watch the Bears stuff for the content, but because we're just going to need content for August, but I don't really watch it if it's not my team anymore. I watch it at the beginning and then fall out of love with it by the end. But the offseason, trades, combine, draft, like it's a different spin than training camp. I got to say, some of these clips coming out of the Giants Hard Knocks are pretty damn appealing.
Yeah, this whole thing caught me by surprise. I got confused. I thought it was an in-season Hard Knocks for the Giants.
They're doing that too.
Oh, so the off season is just like a precursor to the in season one, I guess.
No, it's year round Hard Knocks.
Oh my God!
Giants were off season Hard Knocks. Bears are training camp Hard Knocks, and then AFC North is in season Hard Knocks.
Oh, okay. So that was my confusion because I knew the Giants were a yes.
And there's also a Hard Knocks during Hard Knocks.
Oh, there is
that they're filming.
It's like that Starbucks where they opened a Starbucks inside it, just in case you still needed a Starbucks while you were at.
It's a
the
Hard Knocks on the decision to brand HBO as Max.
Yeah. Max.
It hit my ride. Yeah, we're like Hard Knocks. So we put a Hard Knocks inside your Hard Knocks.
I love that, Shani. You shared that in the chat, right? It was a picture of Max. It was like a recommendation during the White Sox game.
No, it was on the TBS. Broadcast of the Cub game last night. They had Max on the mound.
Max, how you doing? So Max, this is like, no, I'm already watching something on television. Don't tell me, because if the game is bad, I'm bound to leave and go to watch Max. What are we doing? But anyway, this whole Hard Knocks thing caught me by surprise. The fact that there is one in the offseason, and then there's all this content here. It's awesome.
So Giants general manager, Joe Shane, right.
And it's too bad Shane Reardon is not here, because he would have enjoyed the Sam Hartman love that was right there.
Well, you know, they lose Saquon Barkley. Other running backs were available, including DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift ends up on the Bears, but here's a behind-the-scenes evaluation on DeAndre Swift.
If the Giants do offer Barkley a new contract, it'll cost. So Joe Shane's staff is assessing every free agent running back available this offseason.
What we're looking for, running back, obviously, we'll see what happens with Saquon, but there is going to be some depth, you know, at the running back position. I think it'll be a little bit of a saturated market. You know, maybe able to get a couple value guys there.
There's, you know, 600 free agents this year. You know, the pro scouts and I, we're responsible for them all. We have a big board, just like the draft board, and we have all the players on there. How we like them based on financials, character fit, value to our team, and then kind of the marketplace.
Swift was the kind of the interesting one. Price point would be a big deal on him. This guy, from a physical talent standpoint, can make up some of the things you lose with Saquon.
You got two giant defenders.
that he's going to make miss to get into the end zone.
From an explosiveness standpoint,
DeAndre Swift goes over 1,000 yards.
From a pass game standpoint,
the fact that he was able to completely contort his body and catch it was impressive.
If you're signing him, he's going to be more of a package player. You're going to pair him with somebody, say he's one of the guys you sign in the committee style.
It's going to be hard to get him out of Philly, just because it's home for him.
Man.
A lot of praise.
A lot of praise of a lot of different aspects of that dude's game as a running back.
Yeah, he was high on their list. They ended up, obviously, they do lose Saquon, but he was one of the top guys that they were ranking behind Saquon Barkley.
Hey, man,
in the running back class.
There'll be time when we get to Bears training camp, but I can go back and remind people of what DeAndre Swift is capable of, including in a couple specific games for the Eagles this year, being a load back. Being a guy who they handed the ball to repeatedly as they were just dominating people with a road grader offensive line. He's got that gear in there. It hasn't gotten used a lot, but when it's gotten used, it is in there in addition to everything else. I'm such a huge fan of this signing. Cannot wait.
Well, and just even as you're listening to these couple of clips, just think we're a month away from getting this type of content all about the Bears. So, like, imagine I was a Giants fan, how much I would care about this. Well, you're going to get that in a month. Here is the brain trust of the Giants discussing the likelihood of them moving on from Saquon Barkley.
I just think all the teams that need a running back are going to look at Saquon. Do you feel good about eating $3 to $4 million for a fifth-round pick? Like, I wouldn't.
I don't know. There's no guarantee we can trade him. So, you know, having the needs that we have in a $12 million, 27-year-old running back.
Trading Saquon is a Hail Mary, and the drama and all that goes with it. We did that last year.
It's 10 years off my life dealing with it. Emotionally was draining. We spent a lot of time on it. But again, I don't want that to be the reason that we don't do what's best for the franchise.
Okay, so to take this step further, we lose Saquon, right? What's our identity going to be on offense now? Like, what's our plan to... What's the next step of that? I guess it's what I'm thinking. Like, we're losing
a
large part of our offense, our explosiveness, our touchdowns. Quarterback, if it's Daniel, depends on the run game.
We got to upgrade the offensive line, and you're paying the guy $40 million. It's not to hand the ball off to a $12 million back. My plan is to address the offensive line at some point here in free agency. We're sitting at six. There's a chance there's an offensive weapon there. This is the year for Daniel. Plan all along was give him a couple years. Is he our guy for the next 10 years, or do we need to pivot and, you know, find somebody else?
Man.
That's so good.
It's so good. There's so much in there. But that bit about the end, bit there at the end, this is a year for Daniel. He's making $40 million. Maybe we'll find an offensive weapon at number six.
They took Malik Nabers.
But this is the year for Daniel. Go ahead and let's find out. Do we need to pivot? Or is he our guy for the next 10 years? Frankly, that makes me think about the way that Ryan Poles and his staff attacked Justin Fields in this past year. Go ahead and drop him into the deep end of the pool with that West Coast offense. Here, what he got? What he got? What he got? Time to drop back. Time to show us. We got 1 year to find out. Prove it or not. And I know that it can be abrasive, but sometimes you got to find out what you have so you can make decisions more efficiently. That's fascinating stuff.
I just love the framing of it, of like, now if you're covering the Giants or you're a fan of the Giants, it's like, okay, this is exactly what they're doing. This is how we have to hold them to. It's the make or break year for Daniel Jones. Speaking of quarterback conversation, sometimes they sound like talk radio hosts when the idea of Patrick Mahomes exists in the universe.
Nearly 20% of the Giants' salary cap is taken up by quarterback Daniel Jones. Right now, the sixth-year pro is a $40 million question mark.
With the sixth pick, there's a defense
in this league to win. You know, the reality is Daniel Jones is coming off an ACL.
Last year, we were better at every position on defense. We were better at some positions on offense. We won six games. We're going to draft well. We're going to sign good guys.
Yep.
We got to go win.
Yeah.
The reality is, facts.
Yeah.
Three serious injuries in 2 years.
Yeah.
We need to protect ourselves. He didn't have much of a chance this year. That's legit. Yeah. Like your offseason, the four guys, your core guys that were going to play together played less than 60 snaps together.
Yep.
We have Miami, we got three practice squad guys playing for us.
Yeah.
Like, nobody could, like, you could have Pat Mahomes and he can't win it behind that. Yeah. I'm not giving up on, like, he's under contract for 3 more years. Just protecting ourselves because best predictor of the future is the past.
The idea that they are saying Patrick Mahomes wouldn't be able to play behind our offensive line is so great. Because we've been like, what would Mahomes have been like if he was with the Bears throwing to Marcus Wheaton and Josh Bellamy?
Uh-huh.
But it's like, so they're just saying, so that's with Daniel Jones. With Daniel Jones and all of the fumbles and all of the badness, they're like, well, there's something in there. If we could just protect him and give him a chance, maybe he could still be really good.
Yeah, man, this is why your sport, like we talk about, like it is so much dependent on other aspects of the team. It's just, I mean, how can you judge Daniel Jones in their own mind? And they're watching it. They know him. He's their guy. They don't even feel like they can judge him without giving him a realistic offensive line.
Nobody could. Like, you could have Pat Mahomes and he can't win it behind that.
I bet he could, though. That's the thing.
Right. He'd be better than Daniel Jones.
I think that would go okay.
He'd be better than Daniel Jones. Last one. I think this is just hilarious. This is at, I don't know if it was a combine practice or where it was, but they're watching college prospects, and it's Joe Shane and a couple of other general managers, and he's just, this is how it ended up. And that's Omar in the background. I'm going to let him out of here in just a second. This is how Brian Burns, elite pass rusher from the Panthers, ends up on the New York Giants. This is the impetus of the whole thing.
Brian Burns, they're going to have to trade for him after they get tagged.
What do you think Burns is worth if you were to trade for him?
One plus for sure. They turned down 2 ones at one point.
New GM and they weren't able to get something done.
The next stop in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl. A showcase for the top 136 players eligible for the draft. It's also a place to catch up with colleagues from around the league.
You know, Dave Canales. Hey, Terrence Gray.
Good to meet you, Terrence.
How you doing? Congrats on the job, man.
Hey, thank
you. That's awesome. Good yeah, congrats. You. Yeah, you too. You guys want to move up to 6 from 33? No?
I'm going 8.
Just checking.
Going bad.
Never hurts to ask. Bean, you want to come up to 6? Where are you? You can't afford a money. You can't afford a top 10 pick.
You want to get us
their COVID ones for friends?
Ooh.
That sounded an awful lot like the Panthers just let the Giants know that pass rusher extraordinaire Brian Burns is available.
Their COVID ones for friends?
No. I mean, yes, but.
Or one and something.
You're heading in the right direction.
A pair of ones, no, a one and something, okay, uh-huh. Now you're heading in the right direction, and then they did it.
Wow, that opens the door for
that's
the trade
just talks. Two guys, he's literally, there's 4 different teams represented in the picture, and he's like, hey, yeah. You guys want to move up to 6? Hey, do you guys want Burns? Burns?
It's almost as if Joe Shane was banging on the door of the office to try and get out. Kind of like Omar in the back of your frame.
I gotta
there.
Let him out. I know.
You gotta
but
let
I'm
Omar
just saying,
out.
That's amazing. That's amazing that's how that trade, impetus of the trade. Yeah. As a guy just like rambling around like, hey, you guys want Burns? You want Burns?
And you can't Burns? Be the Buffalo Bills there who you heard, we can't afford to do that.
Yeah.
Couldn't afford to move to trade away picks.
So
they
good,
couldn't
man.
Afford to like, you know, add another pick to, you know, with their salary cap situation.
Right, you know? couldn't afford the top 10 pick. They were shedding salary this offseason. So like, we're gonna get that type of content.
That's gonna be great
from the Bears coming in 1 month. But coming up next, Chris Tannehill will be hosting. I was trying to do my Joey Pants. There,
yeah, sorry. Yeah. No, this is a very special, very special episode of Categories coming up.
He can't sabotage the picks and just get on his phone if he's hosting. So Chris Tannehill hosts. Categories next on the Score.
Chris Tanny, if I may.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
Afternoons on the Score.
So,
I think it's time to play the game.
We're playing the game?
Yes. We're playing the game.
Do we have to play the game?
What's the game?
Tanny is all things to all people.
Danny is the host. Sean Sears in for Shane. Texter correctly points out whoever wins categories this week has an asterisk because Shane isn't here. That is very, very true.
Peter Hansen also in. Five-person categories. Let's go. Four contestants. Four contestants, one host. Bang.
You'll figure it out as we go. It's very simple, and we're late, so let's get right to it. Tanny?
All right, so yesterday on the Dustin Rhodes Experience featuring Michael and David, former Bull caught some friendly fire when Casey Johnson was discussing the revamped Bulls roster.
Giddey's a good player. You know, it's not like they're adding Khaled El-Amin or something like that. We're going old school there. Khaled El-Amin just caught a stray from me.
Tim Floyd went 49-190 during his Bulls tenure.
Oh, my God.
I'm looking for Bulls who played under head coach Tim Floyd.
Don't call me Jerry Krause's boy.
Oh, it's an all-timer right there.
Hell yeah.
All right, where are we? Who's starting?
I'm starting. As per his contract, he must start.
Yeah. Eddie Curry.
Well, I'll go Tyson Chandler.
Yes.
You got to give Tanny time to acknowledge that it's correct.
Yeah, Tyson Chandler. Peter, you're young. You know any Bulls?
Oh, no. You're going to need some time to think, guys.
So one of my bits was going to be give Peter all the answers so we can dust you guys, but I did not do that. Now I'm wishing I would have. All right, Peter's out then. Come on. Any Bull from 99 to like 03, Peter? What do we got? You weren't even born yet. All right.
I wasn't.
Garrett, get him out of here.
Get him out.
Jamal Crawford?
Yes, Jamal Crawford. Danny. Marcus
Fizer.
Yes.
Man, that's where I was going to go. Damn it. Pete Myers.
No. Pete Myers is gone at that point.
He's gone by then.
Danny for the win.
Well,
no.
Sean?
Is Sean still in?
Ron Artest.
Ooh, I'll give that to you, even though technically you've dead named him.
That's true. This is a meta world piece.
Meta world piece, but he was Artest at the time. We'll let it slide.
Back to Danny.
Elton Brand.
Yes, Elton Brand.
Wow, very good.
Does Jay Williams count?
He doesn't because he wasn't on those teams. Yeah, so sorry about that. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's one for me.
Very well played, guys.
One for Danny.
You guys want some more names here while we have time?
Yeah, Jake Voskal.
Yes. Greg Anthony, BJ came back. BJ Armstrong came back for another stint. Corey Benjamin, Tarlac.
Was Daniel Marshall here at all?
Not on
that time.
No, Tony was still here. Kukoc was still here.
Oh, yeah.
Rusty LaRue, Ron Mercer, early Brad Miller. Charles Oakley came back for his final stint with the Bulls in the Tim Floyd era.
Incredible.
So some fun names there. All right. The Cubs face the Phillies for game two of their three-game set tonight. Ryan Porth's pregame at 6:30 on the score. The Phillies, a storied franchise that dates back all the way to 1883. Many men have played for the Phillies. I need the best of them. Looking for the top 50 war leaders for the Philadelphia Phillies. Wow. This includes the Quakers, too, if you're wondering. The Philadelphia Quakers, which they were also referred to as.
All right, I'll take a biggie off the board with Mike Schmidt.
Yeah, good job, Speaks. Yeah.
Peter.
I'm guessing Bryce Harper isn't on there.
He might be.
He is, just barely, yes. He's at the tail end there. Good job, Peter, for knowing a guy.
Let a guy who's 21.
For knowing a guy.
Knowing a guy. Sean, a Philly.
Ryan Howard.
Ryan Howard not in their top 50 war leaders. Yeah, very good, but for a short amount of time. And also the position plays a factor, too.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Howard is not?
No, man. First base and just pop with very little else.
Wow. Okay. Jimmy Rollins.
Yes. White Sox legend on the list.
Chase Utley.
Yes, Chase Utley also on the list.
Chase Utley was mine.
Oh, sorry, Speaks. Do it. Go again.
I'm out.
Oh, Peter.
Nothing, Peter?
Nothing. I got nothing.
Big zilch today from the birthday boy.
Sean?
I'm out.
Oh, yes, right. He's out. Yeah. He gets Ryan Howard. Danny, you can give us another Philly.
Isn't it your turn?
No, it's yours because Peter just missed.
And Speaks had Utley, right?
Yep. I had Utley.
Oh, I'm sorry. All-time Phillies, Cole Hamels.
Yes, Danny. Very good.
How about Steve Carlton?
Yes, Steve Carlton also on the list. Danny?
Um, Okay, this could
there's some guys on the current roster that are on this list, mm-hmm. on the current Phillies roster.
Wow.
Current Phillies roster.
So it's an old franchise with not a lot of, it's like the White Sox, not a lot of great history. It's mm-hmm. a lot of weird names on this list, but a lot of good current guys.
All right, well, I'm not taking this clue. Curt Schilling?
Yes, Curt Schilling on the list. Spegs?
That might be my last one. Current Philly on the list.
How about Zach Wheeler?
No Zach Wheeler.
It's disappointing. I'm embarrassed for myself. How about Robin Roberts? Is he on the list?
Yes, Robin yeah. Roberts, yeah.
I don't get two guesses, though, right? No, that's not how it works.
It's not how the game's played. Yeah. Come with the rules, I'll play the game.
I was going to guess Robin Roberts.
Roy Halladay?
Not there long enough, no.
All right.
Well, so we're done here, right?
Yeah, we're done. Yes. We're done.
So the current guy that's on there is JT Realmuto.
Oh, yeah, catcher, of course.
So, yeah. Other names on this list, Larry Boa, Lenny Dykstra, Darren Dalton, and of course, John Kruk barely making the list as well.
Oh, yeah. That,
so there's
that
some
is a good
legendary
list.
Names on there. Yeah.
Good job.
It's good to have fun with names, I've always said. All right. Quickly here, we're already up against it. The Rolling Stones brought their Hackney Diamonds tour to Chicago for two nights this past week. Daryl Jones, friend of the show, Spiegs, was adjacent to the Stones last night at Wrigley, sitting with Carl Denson. Stone Rollers have had 34 hits chart on Billboard's Hot 100 over the course of their legendary career. Which songs made the list? 34 Stone songs on the Hot 100.
That's awesome. Peter, you're first. We need a Rolling Stones song.
This is actually the one I have the best chance at.
Okay. Nice.
Paint It Black.
Yes, Paint It Black on the list. 2 weeks at number one in 1966.
Brown Who's Sugar? Next?
Brown Sugar.
Oh, Sean Sears, Brown Sugar, yes. 2 weeks at number one in 71.
I'm going to go with Satisfaction.
Yeah, good call, Danny. 4 weeks at number one in 1965.
How about Jumpin' Jack Flash?
That's on there, 1968. Good job.
Beast of Burden?
Beast of Burden, yes, 1978.
Good. These are Stones.
We
want to
hear
ones.
Your mic when you're doing that, Sean. We want to
I'm
hear
so sorry. I'm humming out loud for you guys here. I know so many Rolling Stones songs, but I can't think of any.
Clearly.
Yeah, clearly I'm crushing it here. I might be out.
Well, that's good because Matt Doherty's here with the pizza.
Hey, so
Sean, he said he
Saved
would stall.
The pizza.
He said he would stall for categories, but now he doesn't have to. So go and get.
Danny, we need another Stones tune.
I mean, I'm debating. Well, I think they're both on the list, so I'll go with Sympathy for the Devil.
Yes, Sympathy for the Devil on the list.
How about You Can't Always Get What You Want?
That was the other one.
Yep, 1973.
Is Wild Horses on there?
Ooh, Peter.
Ooh. They couldn't pull you away from categories. 1971, yes, it's on there.
What about Start Me Up?
Yep, Start Me Up on there, 1981.
How about Miss You? Is Miss You
Miss
on
You,
there?
1 week at number one in 1978.
All righty.
Happy?
Yeah, 1972.
Wow, look at him going deep into Peter. Exile on Main Street.
I mean, it's only rock and roll, but I like
but
it.
But he likes it.
Yeah. 1974.
Look at Danny.
This
Peter
is the only artist song. I go deep on.
How about Tumbling Dice? Tumbling Dice.
Tumbling Dice, yes, 1972.
Honky Tonk Woman?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, H-Word Woman, yeah. 4 weeks at number one, 1969. Very good. I don't know if we could say honky on the air, but I just did.
I'm out.
How about Bitch? Was Bitch at number one?
Yikes. No.
It was not?
It was not in the Hot 100, no.
Okay.
Yeah, oh, man.
What?
Nothing. It was just so many songs here. I thought for sure you'd bring it home.
I should have brought it home.
You went cute on that.
Yeah, I did. I went a little too cute.
So
Peter's got a chance to bring it home, right?
He does.
Dead Flowers?
No.
Not a one.
No.
Oh, it's too bad.
Boy.
That should have been me.
And once again, the winner of the audience.
I won. I'm taking my win with an asterisk.
Do it. Take it.
I'm taking it.
What do we miss, Tanny?
Oh, there's so many more on here. As Tears Go By, Dandelion, Emotional Rescue, Fool to Cry, Get Off My Cloud.
Oh, my God.
Harlem Shuffle, Heart of Stone.
Oh, wow.
It's All Over Now. Let's Spend the Night Together.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we miss Less, don't we? Love is Strong. Many more on here. Ruby Tuesday. Notable ones that you guys may have missed. She's a Rainbow.
Oh, She Comes in Colors. Is Angie on there?
No.
Okay.
Street Fighting Man. Also on there, and Undercover Night, one of my favorites. So yeah, there we go.
She's a Rainbow was the audience choice song at the first show at Soldier the other night.
Well,
she would remember
that
choice.
5 minutes ago. Yeah,
I know. I didn't know. I didn't know
you could have given it to Speaks.
I didn't know that I would have been a number one thing. But okay.
Oh dear.
Yeah, all right. Bad job by me.
Oh dear, we're so late.
We are so
what
late. It's Parks and Spiegel on the Score.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Fans, they don't like him.
Afternoons on the Score.
Okay, calling an audible here for a minute. It's the Parkinson Spiegel Show on the Score, sending you into your holiday weekend.
Yeah, man, it feels like a feel-good Friday. The open was feel-good, and then, you know, focusing on the Cubs with the manager, also feel-good.
Yeah, and listen, we can get to, there's great football audio that we have. We've got categories, we've got other things to do. I can handle it. Like, I also don't want it overstated. Like, it's not like I'm going out to dinner and breakfast and beers with the man. Have not seen him socially since the season started, but people know that, you know, Craig grew up with my brother. You know, that was talked about way back in the day. I've known the guy for a long, long time. But like, so if you can remove that from the equation, he's an intense guy. He's a smart guy. He's a careful guy. He's considerate with his words. But I find him to be almost alarmingly direct. Like, if you ask him a question, he will give you an answer. Like, for example, let's just peel back the curtain completely here. I know that there have been members of the writing corps around the Cubs who get annoyed when he, like, will tell us, like, oh, yeah, this is the roster move that's happening, before he ends up going into the press room and talking to them, because he's just not going to, like, hold that back for 10 minutes and then break it to them. And, like, he's like, who cares? It's a transactional news. You ask me a question, I'm going to give you an answer. So he pauses after every question. Sometimes if the answer can be 8 words, he gives you 8 words. If the answer needs to be 208 words, he gives you 208 words, but never 209. So it's he's an interesting, intense guy to talk to in that way. But so, like, you know, I'm broadcasting from home, not at the studio today, which is very rare. So I don't have the text line up at home. It's on a different tab, right? At the studio, I've got 3 windows in front of me. So when the interview with Council ended and I threw the break, I looked at the text line and the response was overwhelmingly negative to the interview. But I had gone to the break being like, there was some stuff in there if you were listening. And so I normally don't feel like I'm that disconnected to how the audience feels about something that we just did on the show. Normally, if you guys are like, that sucks, I'm also like, this sucks.
Well, let's throw open the phone lines and talk about it a little bit. I think it's interesting. At 312-644-6767. Because here's what I think, Danny. I think people are furious. I think Cub fans were told this was going to be a winning year, and it sucks. And right now, a great team with a big payroll is in town showing you what it's supposed to look like, what it could look like. And it all freaking sucks. And the Brewers are in first place, and and they told you that the manager mattered. So, I mean, I'm seeing it on social. I'm certainly seeing it on text. People are so angry at Craig, they want to hear some of that anger from us and directness from us. So that's one big part of it. That they
want anger from us to Craig?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so here's the thing. Then you're going to be disappointed. And that's fine. Like if the audience is like, why don't you guys say you should be fired or you suck or whatever? Like, that's just not going to happen. You're going to be disappointed. I'm sorry to disappoint you. It'll happen again. But that's not the role or the job, right? The job, in my opinion, is to ask him questions, get his answer, and then if we disagree, we can push back. But when he says some of the at-bats from PCA are tough to watch, or he says flatly it has been regression from Miguel Amaya, or we don't have a single all-star caliber offensive season on the team, and that caps how good you can be. Those are bad answers? Am I missing? Please tell me if I'm wrong. Those are not bad answers. That is a very honest, direct evaluation of a team like that. He's not shoveling gold, and you know what I mean, or whatever that stupid expression is. What's the expression?
I have no idea.
Go ahead, Danny.
Shoveling crap and calling it gold, whatever that expression is. You know what I mean? He's not polishing up a turd. He's not putting lipstick on a pig.
Okay, those two, I know. Yes. Job, I know those two.
There's one about shoveling.
Shoveling?
Peter?
We got a phone call. We got one on the line here. So he's screening calls. Yeah.
Text it in, call it. Genuinely curious. It's fine if you disagree, but I find it to be I've known his conversation pattern for forever.
A lot of people have not. This is the other thing.
He's
an intense dude. There's a little bit of a stilted delivery. There's a lot of pauses because he's comfortable waiting for, you know, exactly what he wants to say. So there's some of that discomfort. You know how it is with certain.
And I live for discomfort.
With some people in terms of listening and texting, it's like anything that sounds like discomfort. That it sounds like he thinks we're complete idiots, right? There's one text is like, I don't know how he's patient with you two jamokes. So there's some of that.
But we've heard him talk to the assembled media, and there's some of that with them. 100%.
There's a lot
day.
Of it with
that. I've stood there and felt it with that. There is some of that. That's just what it is.
We played the Jesse interaction. Jesse is as good as they get. You know, played that interaction a couple weeks ago.
Hey, man, not everybody's Joe Madden. You know, like Joe Madden.
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
Not everybody is that guy. That guy is as good and as polished at speaking as often as a manager must as anyone I have ever seen or been around or heard. I mean, you are straight up spoiled by 4 to 5 years of Joe Madden.
But and even David Ross, David Ross was not cuddly, like the Grandpa Rossi thing. But Craig won't do media. He's not doing media when his managerial career is over. That's not going to be what he does.
He's not going to ride his bike and speak into a microphone and turn that into a podcast or a book, because that's what Joe did immediately.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's what David Ross did. Mm-hmm. David Ross was on Sunday Night Baseball. You know, David Ross, that's Craig is more likely to be the commissioner of baseball than to be on Sunday Night Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, that is just not, that is not who he is. So if that's what it is, it's that the last two managers were, and especially Joe, but also Ross, were
polished media presences for the
correct.
Most part. Yeah.
If that's what it is, then fine.
And it could still be rough because the other thing, there's lots of answers that he doesn't have, man. It's the hardest sport in the universe. He cannot tell you why Dansby Swanson is having as brutal an offensive year as he is, because it's part of it psychological, is part of it that he's hitting too many ground balls to the pull side. Yeah, like all those things. But what's going on here? Is he going to get into those intricacies? Hell, man, I asked about a group offensive approach? Because I'm overwhelmed by what seems like a group and or organizational offensive approach that seems to be broken. But, and I go back to Theo saying our offense is broken, and you want to think about that from a holistic perspective. But it's such a collection of individual stories and plot lines and challenges. It's so difficult to get a freaking handle on for fans, let alone for a manager. So he doesn't have answers to some of that stuff. And some of it, of course, I'm sure, is our terrible questions, as listeners can tell us at 312-644-67.
Yeah, I mean, there's one texter who's sent 30 texts since the interview ended, just absolutely crushing us for the questions.
Sure.
Fine.
That's fine. We're very critical of our own questions. We talk through stuff and try to deal with it, but whatever. Things can be... there are multiple.
I mean, again, I disagree. I thought that was good.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. It's just sort of a stilted delivery, a little bit, and that's just him and his style. And he can't do anything about
that.
Yeah. Also, they suck, man. They're bad. They suck. They're really bad. It colors everything.
Right. And so someone would say, just say that to him. You guys are bad. And it's like, well, okay. I don't know what it does to antagonize the guy who's going to be on the show every other week and is the manager of the team, when that's not going to get you the best answers. It's like, I ask them, when you guys are double digit out in the standings, does that impact, you know, whether or not you guys are going to be sellers at the deadline? That's not like that's not a friendly question. That's not a soft question. It's just, I'm not going to say, hey, you guys suck. Why? But I just think that there's a difference there, right? One question I'll ask, the other question I won't.
Right.
And Texter says, you know, well, what about how you grilled John Paxson back in the day? Man, listen, I thought those questions were fair too. He came on and called it an interrogation. So, you know,
also John Paxson was making the roster decisions.
Yeah, right. Different types of questions that you ask that person than others.
The one thing I had down that I didn't get to was, how are you and Jed doing? How are you guys doing right now?
Yeah.
Because I'm interested in how they're doing.
Right? I'm not going to say that like I'd submit that interview for an award, but I can't imagine listening to that and not thinking that it was interesting.
We got a couple phone calls on
this.
Let's
take them.
This is Tony in St. John, Indiana. Tony, you're on Parkinson Spiegel on the Score. What's up, man?
Yeah, how's it going, gentlemen? Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on Craig Counsell. I'm a diehard Cub fan. You know, my dad's ruined me with this for quite some time now, but that's all right. Anyway, you know, I don't get upset at him whatsoever. I don't put any of the blame on him whatsoever. Even in just early in the season when he was making some questionable decisions out of the bullpen, he was still trying to figure out what arms he had, if there were any that he had. The guy is just diligent, goes about his business, quiet, soft-spoken, tells it like it is, blunt. He's not one of those guys that's going to come out of the dugout kicking dirt on the umpire and stuff like that. He's not a Lou Piniella. He's just not that guy. So I don't blame him whatsoever. I'm glad they have him for another 4 years. It's solely on Jed Hoyer. He didn't do enough last year going into the offseason. I'm sorry, this year in the offseason to address the corner infield. You know, he thought Morel would progress. He didn't. Was a big, you know, now his trade value's gone. Michael Bush, he might have hit on. We're not too sure just yet, but I think he may have, although he had to give up Jackson Ferris as a stud.
So Tony's following it very closely, and he thinks it's more on the team building. And that's part of the conversation, but in terms of like how it sounded, Danny, I think maybe Sean in Romeoville can speak to that in terms of how it sounds on the regular. What's up, Sean? How are you?
Hi, guys. How are you guys?
We're good.
Good.
Good. Good. I'm not a big baseball guy, but I enjoy listening to you guys. So I will say that whenever I hear these interviews, to me, it just sounds really uncomfortable. And maybe that's me internalizing. But I also think, you know, it's got to be really difficult to do these interviews when the team's not playing well. And, you know, they come on the air. And they know you guys are going to, I don't want to say grill them, but you're going to challenge them with what you guys think is right or should be done or what the team should be doing. And I just think, you know, when teams are winning and when they're playing well, you know, these are just easier to do. And also, too, this is just to kind of be a little funny. Do you remember how the warden responded to Tim Robbins in Shawshank Redemption when he called him obtuse?
Obtuse?
Do you remember that part in the movie?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I sometimes, Danny, I think you're that way willfully, Like, that's just my opinion. Sometimes I think you kind of choose to be tone deaf, like for you to not feel, and I'm just keeping it at the interview, to not feel the discomfort and attention or not. Yeah, I mean, yeah, to say that, you know, you listen, if you listen back to it, there's great stuff in it. But still, it's uncomfortable, and I think that comes across clearly to people who are listening. But I think sometimes you kind of choose to take that role.
Well, Sean, okay, that's interesting, but please stay on the line.
I will.
Is it possible that I've talked to the man for years and years and years and know how he speaks?
That's possible, but I think sometimes, this is just my opinion, guys in sport media kind of like to play the contrarian role. I'll even just kind of go back to, like, you almost seemed kind of shocked that people were upset about the way people booed Cross's wife at the Bulls thing. Like you, it was almost to you as if, like, well, what did you guys expect? And it's like, well, it's not about what we expect. It's about, you know, morality and having respect and having some dignity. So that's just my opinion. Sometimes I think people in sport media play the contrarian role on purpose.
Yeah, I mean they definitely do. I try not to and appreciate the call. I mean, the Krause thing was a separate thing. The guy got booed every time he was shown on the video board. I thought it was silly to assume that he would not be booed that time, because 20,000 people on a Friday night for a 9 o'clock tip, probably not going to be the most rational of thought providers in the room. Not saying it was right, just saying I would have expected it. But different issue. Again, I'm not saying that was an interview or a conversation that had the flow and the comfort of, you know, Joe Maddon, like you said. I just don't.
Yeah, no, but it's interesting. I'm totally willing to point the thumb as well. There's a text is interesting. You guys were passively, aggressively asking him your questions while trying to be critical of the team. He was obviously annoyed that you weren't being direct. And I'm gonna try to take that in for a second, because can you, as an interviewer, try to play it where you're like, oh no, I'm not gonna say you're sucking, but boy, this sure has seemed to suck. I'm not trying to be passive aggressive, but I am trying to talk about it critically without being an a-hole, because I don't think you need to be an a-hole to do it. Were we not direct enough? You think? Is there any truth in that?
I mean, listen, I'm happy to listen back to it. And he would definitely, he is definitely the type of person that would not like that. He appreciates a
He'd rather
a direct,
just have it direct.
Well, like, I mean, and I'm not bringing it up because it was one of your questions, but he called you on it. Like, you said, what have you learned about guys on the team? And he was like, well, who are you talking about specifically?
Right.
And then you mentioned him. And then I thought that, you know, some of the answers there were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually think, you know, so again, maybe. But again, like there's two ways to do it, right? You could be like, hey, you guys suck offensively. Why? Or you guys are 28th in baseball in runners in scoring position.
Uh-huh.
Why? Like, to me, it's the same question. One is just done more professionally than the other.
Yeah. But like, if my question about the overall collection of approaches, you know, it's interesting. I'll say this. He is a different kind of manager than I've ever really had to interview on the regular. Also, just from my perspective, what is it now, 31, 32 years of baseball in this town, covering for 20 plus, whatever. It's like, he's a very smart and interesting, thoughtful dude. So it's worth some introspection on how to try and talk to the dude, especially while they're struggling.
It's funny because part of me is like, I want to do more of the fun personality, sports dad, swimming pool, because he's a smart ass.
I bet he does too. Don't you think?
Maybe that's what it should be.
Uh-huh.
Maybe, you know, but again, he's not. Boog was on and Sutcliffe was on and told the story of Andre Dawson, Council, Boog, and Sut. At dinner, and he's like, who was talking the whole time?
Mm-hmm.
Sut and Boog. There are introverts and extroverts. Craig's more of an introvert. He's just more of an introverted guy.
By the way, Sean's point of you not noticing the discomfort, I don't think that's a role you're choosing to do, in my opinion. It's just like, you're all right with the discomfort. You're okay. It's like a warm blanket to you.
I want the interview to be very good, very badly. I think about it a ton when we have him on. It means a lot to me. I hear from Brad's friends sometimes after the interview. There is no segment in our week that matters more to me being good than that one. But I just, a challenge of a question, making fun of me. Hey, if I'm looking at the scoreboard, I'm also looking at the flags, Danny. I have, do you lack peripheral vision?
Yeah.
Like, he's just being a smartass. He's being himself.
One more text on this. You guys in council have to be professional on the air. The fans don't. And there's a feeling that council is getting a pass. The serious tension is a problem when things don't go well. You know, so yeah, fans do not have to be professional. Yeah.
I just want the listeners to know, I did have on the dock, you know, he ran the 3-run homer play in the ninth.
Yeah.
You guys should have asked why he didn't run that play again immediately
earlier.
After.
Yeah.
Or earlier.
Right.
At any point. And that's on you guys. So you guys are going to have to sit with that all weekend.
Yep. No, Tanny wants us to ask the hard questions about the 3-run homer play. That's a good point. Huh.
But
okay,
like,
no, that's
fascinating. The uncomfortableness is the team on the field. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are secure in your roles. Craig is very secure. But the product on the field is just not good right now. That's the uncomfortable part. And he only has so much control over that.
The product is not good, and it's forcing yourself to ask massive questions about the organization.
Because we get them every 2 weeks. Yeah, well, so we have to zoom out a bit, too.
You bet. Well, and also the moment, Tanny. When you're this bad in what was supposed to be a winning year, then fans zoom out, and they're like, wait a minute, what are we doing here? And this guy who's been here half a season is not responsible for a lot of what we're doing here just yet. He's not. He doesn't even have a staff. And it's like, and to some that can say, like, oh, you're giving him a pass. No, he could probably be doing more to get them out of it. You know, I'm interested in if he feels like he could be doing more to get them out of it. But there's a lot that is above or at least sideways to his pay grade at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. Fascinating. And I'm always, like I said, I want it to be an open, honest conversation, like, you know, with the audience. So when I looked at the text line and I was like, huh. That's different than what I was hearing.
All right, you teased people with football vibes and interesting ones. Can you please deliver on that, for
God's
sakes?
All right, we'll do it. Yeah, yeah, and yeah. It'll get you hyped for football in a very specific part of this Bears season. Next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Pat McGann.
I feel like I'm in a garage on the south side, but you guys have an antenna. That's like the biggest difference.
Yeah.
Afternoons on The Score.
Some of these guys I haven't seen body type-wise. I mean, Hartman. My grandma loves him. Like, you know, she still lives in South Bend, watches Notre Dame games. And she's like, what do you think about Hartman, Joe?
She likes
him. He is so cute. She goes, I may be 93, but I'm not blind. I'm like, oh, geez, grandma.
Hard Knocks.
Dude, Hard Knocks is coming for the Bears, but there's an off-season one on the New York Giants. And I was like, Hard Knocks is stale. It's team-approved. I'll watch the Bears stuff for the content, but because we're just going to need content for August, but I don't really watch it if it's not my team anymore. I always I watch it at the beginning and then fall out of love with it by the end. But the offseason, trades, combine, draft, like it's a different spin than training camp. I got to say, some of these clips coming out of the Giants Hard Knocks are pretty damn appealing.
Yeah, this whole thing caught me by surprise. I got confused. I thought it was an in-season Hard Knocks for the Giants.
They're doing that too.
Oh, so the off season is just like a precursor to the in season one, I guess.
No, it's year round Hard Knocks.
Oh my God!
Giants were off season Hard Knocks. Bears are training camp Hard Knocks, and then AFC North is in season Hard Knocks.
Oh, okay. So that was my confusion because I knew the Giants were a yes.
And there's also a Hard Knocks during Hard Knocks.
Oh, there is
that they're filming.
It's like that Starbucks where they opened a Starbucks inside it, just in case you still needed a Starbucks while you were at.
It's a Hard
Starbucks.
Knocks on the decision to brand HBO as Max.
Yeah. Max.
Yeah, hit my ride. Yeah, we're like a Hard Knocks. So we put a Hard Knocks inside your Hard Knocks.
I love that, Shani. You shared that in the chat, right? It was a picture of Max. It was like a recommendation during the White Sox game.
No, it was on the TBS. Broadcast of the Cub game last night. They had Max on the mound.
Max, how you doing? So Max, this is like, no, I'm already watching something on television. Don't tell me, because if the game is bad, I'm bound to leave and go to watch Max. What are we doing? But anyway, this whole Hard Knocks thing caught me by surprise. The fact that there is one in the offseason, and then there's all this content here. It's awesome.
So Giants general manager, Joe Shane?
Joe Shane.
Joe Shane, right.
And it's too bad Shane Reardon is not here because he would have enjoyed the Sam Hartman love that was right there.
Well, you know, they lose Saquon Barkley. Other running backs were available, including DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift ends up on the Bears, but here's a behind-the-scenes evaluation on DeAndre Swift.
If the Giants do offer Barkley a new contract, it'll cost. So Joe Shane's staff is assessing every free agent running back available this offseason.
What we're looking for, running back, obviously, we'll see what happens with Saquon, but there is going to be some depth, you know, at the running back position. I think it'll be a little bit of a saturated market. You know, maybe able to get a couple value guys there.
There's, you know, 600 free agents this year. You know, the pro scouts and I, we're responsible for them all. We have a big board, just like a draft board, and we have all the players on there. How we like them based on financials, character fit, value to our team, and then kind of the marketplace.
Swift was the kind of the interesting one. Price point would be a big deal on him. This guy, from a physical talent standpoint, can make up some of the things you lose with Saquon.
You got two giant defenders that he's going to make miss to get into the end zone.
From an explosiveness standpoint,
DeAndre Swift goes over 1,000 yards.
From a pass game standpoint,
the fact that he was able to completely contort his body and catch it was impressive.
If you're signing him, he's going to be more of a package player. You're going to pair him with somebody, say he's one of the guys you sign in the committee style.
It's going to be hard to get him out of Philly, just because it's home for him.
Man.
A lot of praise.
A lot of praise of a lot of different aspects of that dude's game as a running back.
Yeah, he was high on their list. If they ended up, obviously, they do lose Saquon, but he was one of the top guys that they were ranking behind Saquon Barkley.
Hey, man,
in the running back class.
There'll be time when we get to Bears training camp, but I can go back and remind people of what DeAndre Swift is capable of, including in a couple specific games for the Eagles this year, being a load back. Being a guy who they handed the ball to repeatedly as they were just dominating people with a road grader offensive line. He's got that gear in there. It hasn't gotten used a lot, but when it's gotten used, it is in there in addition to everything else. I'm such a huge fan of this signing. Cannot wait.
Well, and just even as you're listening to these couple of clips, just think we're a month away from getting this type of content all about the Bears. So, like, just like, imagine I was a Giants fan, how much I would care about this. Well, you're going to get that in a month. Here is the brain trust of the Giants discussing the likelihood of them moving on from Saquon Barkley.
I just think all the teams that need a running back are going to look at Saquon. Do you feel good about eating $3 to $4 million for a fifth round pick? Like, I wouldn't.
I don't know. There's no guarantee we can trade him. So, you know, having the needs that we have in a $12 million, 27 year old running back.
Trading Saquon is a Hail Mary, and the drama and all that goes with it. We did that last year.
It's 10 years off my life dealing with it. Emotionally was draining. We spent a lot of time on it. But again, I don't want that to be the reason that we don't do what's best for the franchise.
Okay, so to take this step further, we lose Saquon, right? What's our identity going to be on offense now? Like, what's our plan to... What's the next step of that? I guess it's what I'm thinking. Like, we're losing.
Yeah, well,
a large part of our offense, our explosiveness, our touchdowns. Quarterback, if it's Daniel, depends on the run game.
We got to upgrade the offensive line, and you're paying the guy $40 million. It's not to hand the ball off to a $12 million back. My plan is to address the offensive line at some point here in free agency. We're sitting at six. There's a chance there's an offensive weapon there. This is the year for Daniel. Plan all along was give him a couple years. Is he our guy for the next 10 years, or do we need to pivot and, you know, find somebody else?
Man.
That's so good.
It's so good. There's so much in there. But that bit about the end, this is a year for Daniel. He's making $40 million. Maybe we'll find an offensive weapon at number six.
They took Malik Nabers.
But, like, this is the year for Daniel. Go ahead and let's find out. Do we need to pivot? Or is he our guy for the next 10 years? Frankly, that makes me think about the way that Ryan Poles and his staff attacked Justin Fields in this past year. Go ahead and drop him into the deep end of the pool with that West Coast offense. Here, what do you got? What do you got? What do you got? Time to drop back. Time to show us. We got 1 year to find out. Prove it or not. And I know that it can be abrasive, but sometimes you got to find out what you have so you can make decisions more efficiently. That's fascinating stuff.
I just love the framing of it, of like, now if you're covering the Giants or you're a fan of the Giants, it's like, okay, this is exactly what they're doing. This is how we have to hold them to. It's the make or break year for Daniel Jones. Speaking of quarterback conversation, sometimes they sound like talk radio hosts when the idea of Patrick Mahomes exists in the universe.
Nearly 20% of the Giants' salary cap is taken up by quarterback Daniel Jones. Right now, the sixth-year pro is a $40 million question mark.
With the sixth pick, there's a defense
in this league to win. You know, the reality is Daniel Jones is coming off an ACL.
Last year, we were better at every position on defense. We were better at some positions on offense. We won six games. We're going to draft well. We're going to sign good guys.
Yep.
We got a good plan.
Yeah.
The reality is, facts.
Yeah.
Three serious injuries in 2 years.
Yeah.
We need to protect ourselves. He didn't have much of a chance this year. That's legit. Yeah. Like your offseason, the four guys, your core guys that were going to play together played less than 60 snaps together.
Yep.
We have Miami, we got three practice squad guys playing for us.
Yeah.
Like, nobody could. Like, you could have Pat Mahomes and he can't win it behind that. Well, I'm not giving up on, like, he's under contract for three more years. Just protecting ourselves because best predictor of the future is the past.
The idea that they are saying Patrick Mahomes wouldn't be able to play behind our offensive line is so great. Because we've been like, what would Mahomes have been like if he was with the Bears throwing to Marcus Wheaton and Josh Bellamy?
Uh-huh.
But it's like, so they're just saying, so that's with Daniel Jones. With Daniel Jones and all of the fumbles and all of the badness, they're like, well, there's something in there. If we could just protect him and give him a chance, maybe he could still be really good.
Yeah, man, this is why your sport, like we talk about, like it is so much dependent on other aspects of the team. It's just, I mean, how can you judge Daniel Jones in their own mind? And they're watching it. They know him. He's their guy. They don't even feel like they can judge him without giving him a realistic offensive line.
Nobody could. Like, you could have Pat Mahomes and he can't win it behind that.
I bet he could, though. That's the thing.
Right. He'd be better than Daniel Jones.
I think that would go okay.
He'd be better than Daniel Jones. Last one. I think this is just hilarious. This is at, I don't know if it was a combine practice or where it was, but they're watching college prospects, and it's Joe Shane and a couple of other general managers, and he's just, this is how it ended up. And that's Omar in the background. I'm going to let him out of here in just a second. This is how Brian Burns, elite pass rusher from the Panthers, ends up on the New York Giants. This is the impetus of the whole thing.
Brian Burns, they're going to have to trade for him after they get tagged.
What do you think Burns is worth if you were to trade for him?
One plus for sure. They turned down two ones at one point.
New GM and they weren't able to get something done.
The next stop in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl. A showcase for the top 136 players eligible for the draft. It's also a place to catch up with colleagues from around the league.
You know Dave Canales. Hey, Terrence Gray.
Good to meet you, Terrence.
How you doing? Congrats on the job, man.
Hey, thank you.
That's awesome. Good yeah, congrats. You. Yeah, you too. You guys want to move up to six from 33? No?
If I'm going eight.
Just checking.
Going bad.
Never hurts to ask. Bean, you want to come up to six? Where are you? You can't afford a money. You can't afford a top 10 pick.
You want to get us COVID ones for friends?
Ooh.
That sounded an awful lot like the Panthers just let the Giants know that pass rusher extraordinaire Brian Burns is available.
COVID ones for friends?
No. I mean, yes, but.
Or one and something.
You're heading in the right direction.
A pair of ones, no, a one and something, okay, Now you're heading in the right direction, and then they did it.
Wow, that opens the door for
that's
the trade
just
talks.
Two guys, he's literally, there's four different teams represented in the picture, he's like, hey, you guys want to move up to six? Hey, do you guys want Burns? Burns?
It's almost as if Joe Shane was banging on the door of the office to try and get out. Kind of like Omar in the back of your frame.
I gotta
there.
Let him out. I know.
You gotta
but
let
I'm just
Omar
saying,
out.
That's amazing. That's amazing that that's how that trade, impetus of the trade, yeah. as a guy just like rambling around like, hey, you guys want Burns? You want Burns?
And you can't be the Buffalo Bills there who you heard, we can't afford to do that.
Yeah.
Couldn't afford to move to trade away picks.
So
they
good,
couldn't
man.
Afford to like, you know, add another pick to, you know, with their salary cap situation.
Right. You know? Couldn't afford the top 10 pick. They were shedding salary this offseason. So like, we're going to get that type of content.
That's going to be great.
From the Bears coming in 1 month. But coming up next, Chris Tannehill will be hosting. I was trying to do my Joey Pants. There,
yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
No, this is a very special, very special episode of Categories coming up.
He can't sabotage the picks so they should get on his phone if he's hosting. So Chris Tannehill hosts Categories next on the Score.
Chris Tanny, if I may.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
Afternoons on the Score.
So,
I think it's time to play the game.
We're playing the game?
Yes. We're playing the game.
Do we have to play the game?
What's the game?
Tanny is all things to all people.
Tanny is the host. Sean Sears in for Shane. Texter correctly points out whoever wins Categories this week has an asterisk because Shane isn't here. That is very, very true.
Peter Hansen also in. Five-person Categories. Let's go. Four
Whoa.
Contestants. Four
right.
contestants, one host. Bang.
You'll figure it out as we go. It's very simple and we're late, so let's get right to it. Tanny?
All right, so yesterday on the Dustin Rhodes Experience featuring Michael and David, former Bull caught some friendly fire when Casey Johnson was discussing the revamped Bulls roster.
Giddey's a good player. You know, it's not like they're adding Khalid El-Amin or something like that. We're going old school there. Khalid El-Amin just caught a stray from me.
Tim Floyd went 49-190 during his Bulls tenure.
Oh, my God.
I'm looking for Bulls who played under head coach Tim Floyd.
Don't Hell call yeah. me Jerry Krause's boy.
Oh, it's an all-timer right there.
Hell yeah.
All right, where are we? Who's starting?
I'm Danny, starting. As per his contract, he must start.
Yeah. Eddie Curry.
Well, I'll go Tyson Chandler.
Yes.
You got to give
yes.
Danny time to acknowledge that it's correct.
Yeah, Tyson Chandler. Peter, you're young. You know any Bulls?
Oh, no. You're going to need some time to think, guys.
So one of my bits was going to be give Peter all the answers so we can dust you guys, but I did not do that. Now I'm wishing I would have. All right, Peter's out then. Come on. Any Bull from 99 to like 03, Peter? What do we got? You weren't even born yet. All right.
I wasn't.
Garrett, get him out of here.
Get him out.
Jamal Crawford?
Yes, Jamal Crawford. Danny. Marcus
Fizer.
Oh,
yes.
Man, that's where I was going to go. Damn it. Pete Myers.
No. Ah! Nope. Pete Myers is gone at that point.
He's gone by then.
Danny for the win.
Well,
no.
Sean?
Is Sean still in?
Ron Artest.
Ooh, I'll give that to you, even though technically you've dead named him.
That's true. Meta World Peace.
Meta World Peace, but he was Artest at the time. We'll let it slide.
Back to Danny.
Elton Brand.
Yes, Elton Brand.
Wow, very good.
Does Jay Williams count?
He doesn't because he wasn't on those teams. Yeah, so sorry about that. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's one for me.
Very well played, guys.
One for Danny. Good stuff.
You guys want some more names here while we have time?
Yeah, Jake Voskel.
Yes, actually, yes. Greg Anthony, BJ came back. BJ Armstrong came back for another stint. Corey Benjamin, Dragon Tarlak.
Was Daniel Marshall here at all?
Not on
that
time. No, Tony was still here. Kukoc was still here.
Oh, yeah.
Rusty LaRue, Ron Mercer,
wow.
Early Brad Miller. Charles Oakley came back for his final stint with the Bulls in the Tim Floyd era.
Incredible.
So some fun names there. All right. The Cubs face the Phillies for game two of their three-game set tonight. Ryan Porth's pregame at 6:30 on the Score. The Phillies, a storied franchise that dates back all the way to 1883. Many men have played for the Phillies. I need the best of them. Looking for the top 50 war leaders for the Philadelphia Phillies.
Wow.
This includes the Quakers, too, if you're wondering. The Philadelphia Quakers, which they were also referred to as.
All right, I'll take a biggie off the board with Mike Schmidt.
Yeah, good job, Speaks. Yeah.
Peter.
I'm guessing Bryce Harper isn't on there.
He might be.
He is just barely. Yes, he's at the tail end there. Good job, Peter, for knowing a guy.
Let a guy who's 21.
For knowing a guy.
Knowing a guy. Sean, a Philly.
Ryan Howard.
Ryan Howard, not in their top 50 WAR leaders. Yeah. Yeah, very good, but for a short amount of time. And also the position plays a factor, too.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Howard is not...
No, man. First base and just pop with very little else.
Wow. Okay. Jimmy Rollins.
Yes. White Sox legend on the list.
Chase Utley.
Yes, Chase Utley also on the list.
Chase Utley was mine.
Oh, sorry, Speaks. Do it. Go again.
I'm out.
Oh, Peter.
Nothing, Peter?
Nothing. I got nothing.
Big zilch today from the birthday boy.
Sean?
I'm out.
Oh, yes, right. He's out. Yes, Ryan Howard. Danny, you can give us another Philly.
Isn't it your turn?
No, it's yours because Peter just missed.
And Speaks had Utley, right?
Yep. I had
Utley. Oh, I'm sorry. All-time Phillies, Cole Hamels.
Yes, Danny. Very good.
How about Steve Carlton?
Yes, Steve Carlton also on the list. Danny?
Okay, this could be.
There's some guys on the current roster that are on this list, mm-hmm. on the current Phillies roster.
Wow.
Current Phillies roster.
So it's an old franchise with not a lot of, it's like the White Sox, not a lot of great history. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of weird names on this list, but a lot of good current guys.
All right, well, I'm not taking this clue. Curt Schilling?
Yes, Curt Schilling on the list. Spigs?
That might be my last one. Current Philly on the list.
How about Zach Wheeler?
No Zach Wheeler.
It's disappointing. I'm embarrassed for myself. How about Robin Roberts? Is he on the list?
Yes, Robin Roberts, yeah.
I don't get two guesses, though, right? That's not how it works.
It's not how the game's played. Yeah. Come with the rules, I'll play the game.
I was going to guess Robin Roberts.
Roy Halladay?
Not there long enough, no.
All right.
Well, so we're done here, right?
Yeah, we're done. Yeah. We're done.
So the current guy that's on there is JT Realmuto.
Catcher, of course.
So,
that
other names on this list, Larry Boa, Lenny Dykstra, Darren Dalton, and of course, John Kruk barely making the list as well.
Oh, yeah. That,
so there's
that
some
is a good
legendary
list.
Names on there. Yeah.
Good job.
It's good to have fun with names, I've always said. All right. Quickly here, we're already up against it. The Rolling Stones brought their Hackney Diamonds tour to Chicago for two nights this past week. Daryl Jones, friend of the show, Spiegs, was adjacent to the Stones last night at Wrigley, sitting with Carl Denson. Stone Rollers have had 34 hits chart on Billboard's Hot 100 over the course of their legendary career. Which songs made the list? 34 Stone songs on the Hot 100.
That's awesome. Peter, you're first. We need a Rolling Stone song.
This is actually the one I have the best chance at.
Okay. Nice.
Paint It Black.
Yes, Paint It Black on the list. 2 weeks at number one in 1966.
Brown Who's Sugar? Next?
Brown Sugar.
Oh, Sean Sears, Brown Sugar, yes. 2 weeks at number one in 71.
I'm going to go with Satisfaction.
Yeah, good call, Danny. 4 weeks at number one in 1965.
How about Jumpin' Jack Flash?
That's on there, 1968. Good job.
Beast of Burden?
Beast of Burden, yes, 1978.
Good. These are Stones.
We want to hear your mic when you're doing that, Sean. We want to hear.
I'm so sorry. I'm humming out loud for you guys here. I know so many Rolling Stones songs, but I can't think of any.
Clearly.
Yeah, clearly I'm crushing it here. I might be out.
Well, that's good because Matt Doherty's here with the pizza.
He said he would stall
for categories, but now he doesn't have to. So. Don't get.
Danny, we need another Stones tune.
I mean, I'm debating. Well, I think they're both on the list, so I'll go with Sympathy for the Devil.
Yes, Sympathy for the Devil on the list.
How about You Can't Always Get What You Want?
That was the other one.
Yep, 1973.
Is Wild Horses on there?
Ooh, Peter.
Ooh. They couldn't pull you away from categories. 1971, yes, it's on there.
What about Start Me Up?
Yep, Start Me Up on there, 1981.
How about How about Miss You? Is Miss You
Miss
on
You
there?
1 week at number one in 1978.
All righty.
Happy?
Yeah, 1972.
Wow, look at him going deep into Exile on Main Street.
I mean, it's only it's only rock and roll, but I like
but
it.
But he likes it.
Yeah. 1974.
Look at Danny. Look at Danny.
This is the only artist I go deep on.
How about Tumbling Dice? Tumbling Dice.
Tumbling Dice, yes, 1972.
Honky Tonk Woman?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, H-Word Woman, yeah. 4 weeks at number one, 1969. Very good. I don't know if we could say honky on the air, but I just did.
I'm out.
How about Bitch? Was Bitch a number one?
Yikes. No.
It was not?
It was not. Not in the Hot 100, no.
Okay.
Yeah, oh, man.
What?
Nothing. It was just so many songs here. I thought for sure you'd bring it home.
I should have brought it home.
You went cute on that.
Yeah, I did. I went a little too cute.
So
Peter's got a chance to bring it home, right?
He does.
Dead Flowers?
No.
Not a one. No. Oh, it's too bad. Boy. That should have been me.
And once again, the winner of the audience.
I won. I'm taking my win with an asterisk.
Do it. Take it.
I'm taking it.
What do we miss, Tanny?
Oh, there's so many more on here. As Tears Go By, Dandelion, Emotional Rescue, Fool to Cry, Get Off My Cloud.
Oh, my God.
Harlem Shuffle, Heart of Stone.
Oh, wow.
It's All Over Now. Let's Spend the Night Together.
Oh,
we miss less, don't we? Love is Strong. Yeah, many more on here. Ruby Tuesday. Notable ones that you guys may have missed. She's a Rainbow.
Oh, She Comes in Colors. Is Angie on there?
No.
Okay.
Street Fighting Man. Also on there, and Undercover Night, one of my favorites. So yeah, there we go.
She's a Rainbow was the audience choice song at the first show at Soldier the other night.
Well,
that's
you remember
a great
that
choice.
5 minutes ago. Yeah,
I know. I didn't know.
You could have given it to Speaks.
I didn't know that I would have been a number one thing. But okay.
Oh dear.
Yeah, all right. Bad job by me.
Oh dear, we're so late.
We are so
what
late. It's Parks and Spiegel on the Score.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.